Is Data a blessing or a curse? Brought to you by Adastra, this is a must-listen podcast that inspires and advises people who are serious about digitalization. Tell us your problem and we'll solve it. This is the confident claim they make. Around the world, they help companies gather data from the physical world that was previously unavailable. With this data, they reveal insights that companies couldn't discover before. Peter Blabla, head of global IT in Adastra. They leverage Internet of Things to show companies where they are losing money. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You say that the Internet of Things allows you to track and measure things that the companies couldn't measure before. Give us a few examples what you can measure now.
I think it's across the whole supply chain from my perspective. It initially started mostly in retail where, you know, during the COVID era or after, there was a lot of changes in customer behavior and everybody wanted to understand that. So that was the biggest, I would say, need from the brands and retailers to understand the new behaviors. So there was a lot of monitoring in there. But over time, it extended into, let's say, the early stages, what's happening with raw material, what in manufacturing, during the whole manufacturing process, through logistics, through cross docks, all the way to the final customers. So I would say across the whole product and customer journey, if I'll take it in all across the whole supply chain. And now even more also into sustainability aspects, so the reverse logistics and those types of optimizations, which there is a lot of pressure on the market at the moment.
Let's talk about few specific examples. What do you really measure and what answers the company would like to get?
I could start in a retail, for example, that I mentioned. So, you know, I would say that it used to be a black box, whatever happens in the retail. And we just...
You mean in the physical store?
In the physical stores where you know what sold. That's the only information. Where you, if you compare it to online, you go to online and you know exactly how many people entered your webpage, where did they spend time, what did they click, and if you converted them into purchase. That was absolutely unavailable as an insight into physical retail. Now we are able to say how many people went into the store, which direction did they walk through the store, where did they spend time, how much on average, what was the conversion to different categories, where they made the purchase, what they interacted with, also if there was any queues during the time when they were queuing up for payment. And we can also, let's say, compare this with the overall sales data. So understand, let's say, how much of a sale was coming from secondary placement, from promotions, from the primary placement where you have in stores and stuff like that. So I would say revealing the black box of a retail into the detail the same way as you have online could be a nice example, I would say.
So you are able to tell me exactly from which shelf or pallet does my customer buy my, for example, beer?
Exactly. But also we are able to tell you what were the other categories visited along the way. So to basically reveal the full profile of the customer. So if my customer, you mentioned beer, is buying it mostly from promotions, let's say, what else do they do on their customer journey? Do they go into vegetable? Do they buy bakery? Are they more into sweets? Whatever. And having the whole customer journey to understand how to position your promotion or marketing strategy well to maximize your share of the market.
How do you know where they buy the can from?
That's basically monitoring of the second placements. And in a simple terms, you can potentially monitor only the secondary placements. And if you have the payslip of how much was overall sold of that specific category from the store, you just divide one from another and you know how much was sold from the primary placement and how much from a secondary, or anything that you invest into, and you pay extra money, of course, for this display in a store.
Okay, let's switch to another industry than retail. I know you monitored tires on police cars.
Yeah, that's kind of a bizarre use case. But, well, yes, that was an issue that the cars were basically losing their new tires, if we call it that way. So they were leaving the premises with the new tires and they were returning back with tires which were old. So that was the brief was we need to monitor and make sure that we basically prevent this issue to be happening out there.
Okay, let's switch to another industry. For example, construction.
construction. I mean, there are a lot of use cases where there, like the construction materials are really sensitive to temperature delays during production, during transports and all these type of things. So again, it's important. And if we take it back to the supply chain I was talking about, let's say from when the material leaves the premises where it's produced, so the manufacturing, all the way to the final applications, usually there are a lot of kind of stages and potential, let's say, issues and delays which could happen, and they influence the quality of the product at the end of the day. So again, there are several things, which is like transport, which is the temperature, which is humidity, which is weather, wind, and we're taking all of these things in an account to be able to tell to the client, again, the business answer to that business question. So how should I transport? What should be the quantities? What should be the maximum distance? What should be, let's say, the conditions of the material when I send it from my factory all the way to apply it in a way that it just complies with the quality standards that they want to achieve.
Yeah, so the goal is to keep the quality the same and not to spend more money than necessary to keep that quality, right?
Exactly. It's cost is one side. It's the CO2 emissions, which directly or indirectly always happens the same, and it's optimization of the whole process.
For Czech Republic, you monitored the journey of plastic bottles.
Yeah, that was a very interesting use case because it was actually solving something, a topic that's really out there and it's being discussed across the academics, politics, but also the general public. And the waste as the, you know, where does the waste end up? Like, we are really good as a country, I would say, in sorting. And what the interest was and what the brief was here, once we sort it, so once we put the plastic waste into the recycled bins, what happens from that point onwards?
And what did you discover?
It was really interesting, the outcome also, where the assumption was that pretty much everything will end up in recycling. It was not the case. So basically, we know how much of a plastic material is being released in bottles to the market. That was the known information. The other known information is how much of that, once it's consumed, is being recycled, so being thrown into the recycling bin. And from that point on, it should be pretty much going all of it into recycling bins. But we have encountered that some of it ended up in the sorting facilities, which is on the way to recycling. Some of them ended up in recycling facilities, but some of them ended up in landfill as well.
And you also monitored or get the whole journey of each specific plastic bottle, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we basically adapted the end-to-end solution, and I think we'll be talking about it a little bit more. But basically, the one component of this is the sensor, the actual multi-sensor device. So we adapted multi-sensor device of those from previous projects. So there was not much needed to do that, to be a size that would fit into the plastic bottle. And we implemented into plastic bottles, and we've thrown those plastic bottles across the whole country to basically represent the regions and not distort the data by any of that. So that was the adaptation on this side. And then we were monitoring the whole journey of the plastic bottle. So where does it go? Where does it, if it stops on the way or somewhere, and then also where it ended up, and also if there were any temperature deviations to understand if, for example, it is being burnt or going somewhere else, so we can really say the whole journey and have, I would say, data proof information behind that discussion to have more informed discussion between the public's politics and all the parties out there.
And the tricky point for the Czech Republic before was that they weren't able to understand what happens to the plastic bottles after we throw them into the container, right?
That's correct, yeah. And of course, it's connected not with only with the efficiencies, but let's say the overall issue of sustainability and how do we deal with plastic being, again, potentially a material for further production, for upcycling or any other activities which could be done.
How do these projects work in practice? I mean, how do you start with the client, with the company that would like to have answers to their questions?
It's really interesting that there are usually two approaches, but if I take the end-to-end one where the client really has a business issue and want to have the business answer, they are not as much interested into the technology in between. They want to have the business answer. So we usually start with consulting, understanding that what the challenge is for them. And based on that, we can, again, adapt the solution to pretty much anything I was talking about. I mean, it might sound like we could do anything but nothing. But in a way, because it's built from blocks as Lego, we know that that we will, based on a use case, adapt any type of sensory or multi-sensor solution for them specifically. And it could be us producing it or developing it specifically to the use case or adapting or recycling something we have done in the past or even use something from the market. I mean, some cameras or good sensors could be taken from the market. We don't want to reinvent the wheel or even incorporate something the client might already have and create, let's say, the initial enabler to collect this unique set of data within the physical space. And then we transfer the data to our IoT platform, which again is built technically unbiased, as flexible as possible, allowing us to plug in any type of device and any type of data coming through from the physical space. And then we adapt the end result, which is exactly what the clients come to us for. So that's like report or it could be an application, so they have it handy with their hands anytime they want, any notifications of deviations to the process, for example. So if something is happening and it's not desired, they should know about it. So our philosophy in a way is like the IoT solution should be always almost invisible. So if everything going right, you should know about them. If something goes wrong, you should be notified to basically remedy the situation or having the long-term trends inside to give you, let's say, this information to optimize the process at the end. And I would say all of our projects incorporate some AI or you know, any type of algorithms, because we always, when we collect the data, want to learn the system. How do we filter out data which are not necessary or which are screwing the data, or even apply any optimizations or predictive tools on top of the data, because that's exactly what the decision makers want. They want to have the answer, which will help their life easier.
You just remind me about the case you did regarding refrigerators, right? Because they were, I wouldn't say stolen, but lost.
There were several use cases. One of them was that some of the fridges got missing, if you call it that way. But there were other use cases. And basically, in this case, we said, like, if we have just three sensors, one is accelerometer to monitor if something is moving around or not, GPS location to know where it is, and temperature. And this device, having just these three sensors, fairly simple ones, were able to tackle, is it on or off? If you have fridge off, you are not selling anything from it because you wouldn't buy a warm beer, if you go back to beer, what we discussed before. Then based on the temperature progress, also if it's basically any predictive maintenance, so if something's happening with the fridge, to be able to repair it before it broke down, you know the GPS location, so now you know also where it is, so for inventory management or something.
Yeah, if it is on the spot where it is supposed to be.
Exactly. And based on accelerometer, you are able to say, okay, it starts moving. Is it moving just within the premises or it's moving somewhere else? And if it is, then we could customize also the firmware of the device to say, okay, it is beyond 500 meters of the radius where it's supposed to be. So clearly it's going somewhere it's not supposed to be. And then from that point, for example, start the frequency of data monitoring to every minute to track the exact journey where it is going, to track even if it's been stolen, as you mentioned.
So just the responsible person knows if it needs some action or not.
Same way as I mentioned before, if it is there where it's supposed to be, just tell me once a day it is there, it's up and running, the temperature is fine. If it's moving, it's being stolen, or if it's broken, let me know and I'll remedy the situation.
What technologies do you use?
Anything you could imagine. I mean, from the hardware perspective, again, could be any type of device you could imagine. And again, we are not biased to anything. So we want the technology to really respond to the question of the client. So no need to push anything which doesn't deliver.
But you can also invent a sensor.
Of course, the clients need it, right? Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, again, we take in the components from the market. There are like renowned suppliers of that, but we are combining them together on a PCB board, which allows you to combine different sensors so the client doesn't pay for something they wouldn't use and they don't have to, let's say, adjust their processes to something which could be a out-of-box solution or boxed solution on the market. So we're trying to adjust that. And from the software perspective, we use any technology that the client might be running the data on already. So
you do not care if the large companies run all their data on Microsoft or AWS or any other ecosystem, right?
No, or even on-prem or something. I mean, of course, like the latest trends are to be in cloud, so it allows the global companies to scale it. And also most of our solutions are done that way. So we have the IoT platform that could be deployed on any technology, as you said, but usually in cloud, yes.
You use your own IoT analytics platform. So that means that the client does not need to pay for developing the IoT platform from the scratch, right?
Exactly. It's speed to market, and I will say cost as well. I mean, when we were developing at the beginning, the costs were 10 times higher than what we are today. So we are, as I said, kind of recycling what we already have. So if a client comes in, we would usually find the closest clone of a database that we already used before of the IoT platform for the client, and we adapt it to the specific use case they're using. So they, I would say, usually pay only for, let's say, the setup and adaptation of that, which is, I say, marginally lower than what it used to be, let's say, 4 years ago. And then, of course, the device that could be adapted or whatever is that, and then monthly support that we're doing. So, say, from the start to launch a project could be anywhere between 2 to 3 months. It doesn't take much longer, as long as we're staying within something that's reasonable. There is a fairly new use case. It could be, let's say, 3 to 6 months, but majority of them, like 2 to 3 months, to start from the official confirmation from the client.
What are ROIs about?
I mean, again, for us, it's actually the most important thing. We try and be really transparent with the discussion because we don't want to do proof of concepts or pilots, which are just for the sake of doing it. So we are discussing from the beginning with the client openly what is the value of the information they want to collect and if the investment into it is actually paying back. And according to our experience, most of the use cases is somewhere in between 6 to 12 months return of investment. And I would say this is in line with most of the KPIs the companies have out there for fiscal years, and they want to see when they start doing something within the fiscal year to see some results that year and also ideally the return of investment.
We can see growing demand after this, or growing demand on this IoT project around the whole globe. What was the aha moment at the beginning that disrupted the market?
COVID was definitely one of them. I could see that. Of course, a lot of these new initiatives coming from governments like ESG, SDG rules and stuff like the sustainability aspect of
it. So to get the real data from the real world.
Exactly. But usually there is an outside need, which is kind of pressuring. One of them was changing of customer behavior. The other one is, like, I would say, the consumption of customers is almost at the edge of it could be, the frequency of consumption as well. So what remains out there is usually inefficiencies or optimizations as such. So that's driving the interest on one end. The other one could be any, as I said, regulatory or law things which could influence the interest into it. But usually it's driven by either I want to increase something, sales, efficiencies of strategy or something, or I want to reduce cost or CO2 emissions, or I want to optimize processes.
Can you see some significant difference between, for example, Czech Republic, where you did a lot of projects, and, for example, North America, where you are developing some projects right now?
I would say it's maybe the level of adoption where we are at the moment, that here we encounter majority of the projects to be end-to-end. So if somebody comes with a business issue and they want to have business answer, not that interested in what's in the middle technologically. What we see in North America is also use cases where the business already started playing with IoT devices and collecting some type of data. And they want to consolidate the data, which is the, let's say, initial brief or the issue they're solving. But sooner or later, we usually get into what kind of data they're collecting. So into the, let's say, physical space, and also how do they report the data. So it usually becomes end-to-end project at the end of the day, but it could be a different motivation. That's probably the biggest difference I see at the moment.
What are your lessons learned, or the client's lessons learned, from the perspective if they already have played with some IoT devices?
They usually, there is usually really good intention, but when it starts coming up with a lot of data, you have to have resources to be able to crunch the data and deliver the insight. And again, that sometimes, and again, back to a human being motivation. If you have a KPIs aligned with the project and you have your own motivation to deliver a level of, let's say, improvements or optimizations or something, it works well. If you are already 100% busy with your stuff and you get this project on top of your plate, it might be not there. So that could be, again, the thing where the client says, you know, we collected a lot of data, but we need to analyze them now. Otherwise, it doesn't have any impact. So I would say that's the area from my perspective.
What was the most interesting project you worked on?
I think that there were loads recently, but some of these you mentioned, I mean, some of the bizarre ones, like with the tires, but definitely the plastic one, because what is really exciting, if you do a project where you really see that the return of investment works and you have delivered something that makes sense and it improves.
You mean like a real impact?
Real impact. Anyway, I mean, it's probably motivation for all of us to see some results of your work. And if you see it delivered something, and we could see clients who improved their sales or reduced cost or optimized things, reduced CO2 emissions. I mean, at the end of the day, this is why they approached us. So,
okay. So if a client comes to you and say, "Hey, Peter, I need to start getting answers to those my questions," how do you start with the client?
We would usually try like arrange a quick workshop when they can deep dive into what the issue really is, and if there are any underlying things and how does it connect to the whole business, because the more we understand broader perspective, the better we can tailor the solution. As I said, these individual breaks into the whole end-to-end chain. And then from that point on, usually they want to have indication of costs. So we put that together, and we also discuss with them what's the value of this information to be delivered. And that usually is the start, and that could happen again within, I'd say, a couple of weeks' time if they have time to spend with us, and we really investigate in the investigation. As long as it's not something really, really specific, we usually, again, adapting things which we have already done in the past. So fairly quickly turn around some indication, some discussion, some understanding of that. And from that point on, we know immediately if it makes sense to move into the realization of the project or not.
Peter, thank you for coming, visiting us in the studio and sharing your insights with us.
Thank you for having me.
Follow the Adastra Digital website on LinkedIn, Facebook, and most importantly, subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google. This is Iva Karhanová from Adastra, signing off.